Blog Talk Radio.
American rock group Fleetwood Mac. They were formed in London in 1967. The song was the first track to be released from the album Mirage in 1982, but the 13th album for the band. In advance of the album itself, the song became one of Fleetwood Mac's biggest hits in the U.S., peaking at number 4 for then a record 7 consecutive weeks. Primarily a British blues band at first, Fleetwood Mac scored a UK number 1 with Albatross. The addition of Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks gave the band a more pop rock sound, and their 1975 self-titled album Fleetwood Mac reached number 1 in the US. Rumors 1977. And their second album with the arrival of Buckingham. My screen is jumping, sorry.
the arrival of Buckingham and Nicks, and they produced 4 U.S. top 10 singles and remained at number one in the album for 31 weeks. It also reached the top spot in countries around the world and won a Grammy Award for the Album of the Year in 78. Rumors has sold over 40 million copies worldwide, making it one of the best-selling albums in history, and Fleetwood Mac themselves have sold more than 120 million records worldwide, making them one of the world's best-selling band. In 1979, the group was honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. In 1998, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they received a Brit Award for Outstanding Contribution to Music. And some members of the band, still play together today, 55 years later. 55 years. Go Fleetwood Mac. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a chat group, radio group, that hangs out at allpoetry.com, and you can join for free. Or if you're already a member, look us up under the group tab and check out A Team of Voices. I'll meet you at the door. If you'd like to call, the number is 1-646-668-2837. And I am just going to jump right into this because I have a storm and Sky's got a storm and the studio's got a big, long line. So, Sky, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here. And I have Stephen and Kay right behind her. Welcome to the show, you two.
Hello.
Glad you're here. And I have Liquid Damage, a.k.a. Linda. Welcome to the show, Linda. I'm glad you're here.
And thanks, Deb. Good to be here.
And I've got right behind you, I have Mr. David. Hey, Dave Prophet, welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb, thanks. I'm pleased to be here.
Glad you are here. And two more lines to open. I have Mr. Wayne Jen. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Hello,
I'm glad you're here. And I have Allie Sunshine. Welcome to the show. So glad everyone's
here. Hello, Deb and everyone.
And I wrote on the board, just in case the wind knocked the power out or anything, if I should disappear, don't think the aliens got me. Just think that the power went out and I'll have to finish whatever's left on Wednesday. But for the moment, fingers crossed. Sky's getting hit with a storm, too. So, Sky, you want to dive right in, hon?
Yes. I'm going to try to stay. I got my house internet back. But thank you for letting me read first, just in case, but I will try to stay if I can. I brought you a sad poem. I'm sorry. It's been a while. I had to get my sadness in. I couldn't do anything but think of this when I seen this picture. So, Lady London by Sky Darkholm. In the blitz of Luftwaffe bombing, Lady London wept. Hope turned belly side up. Along ash petals blooming from sky, those thin graying leaves of crumbling stone and body, a theater of air raids campaigning in early September's gaze, a time of blackout, shelter underground, parting to the living and the dead. And in those swelling cobblestones, like cheeks raked and bruised, are the remnants of her tears. End quote.
Wow.
And I used a quote, and I used the quote, oh, they say she died in winter when there came a killing frost.
Awesome. Wow, Lady London. When I saw the title and remembered the photo, I wasn't sure where you were going to go. But wow, those thin, graying leaves of crumbling stone and body, a theater of air raids campaigning in early September's gaze, and like
just that part grabs really hard because of everything that's going on, you know, in the world right now. No matter what direction it took you in, it just, there's a sadness there in just those two words, air raids, parting of the living and the dead, and those swelling cobblestones like cheeks raked and bruised are remnants of her tears. The metaphor is perfect to end with that sadness. The dreary fog that the photo's in, the dreary fog that you find yourself in sometimes when there's just so much tragedy. And though this is due to the bombings in the UK during the war, as I said, you can't help but think of the people in Ukraine at the moment, and it just makes it even more profound. Amazing brevity, Sky. Really, really powerful.
Thank you, Deb.
Let me get you some. Let me go to Wayne, please.
Yes.
Wayne.
I didn't have your speakerphone. Sky, this is a very good poem. And Lady London has spent many sleepless nights during the wartime. It was a time of blackouts and sheltered underground, for sure. Enjoyed your poem, enjoyed the read, and did a good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great comment. And Linda, please.
Yeah, sweet. This is like a poignant story of what goes on in war. It was well inked, my darling. It holds much emotion of those depressing times. I think you did a fantastic job by being very respectful in your writing. It was just so well represented, I think I could say. But anyway, I think you did a fantastic job. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Swelling cobblestone. Yeah, really great. And how about if I get a comment from Stephen, please?
Yeah, I like this a lot. I'm a bit of a World War II buff, so you took me there. And I've seen some movies where they depict some of this. And I told you in my comment that the devastating German bombs wreaked havoc on England. I really like the personification of the city of London in this piece as she weeps for the dead and the damage. I thought this was a really cool piece, Sky. Very well done.
Thank you, Steve.
Great comment. And Kay, you're the next reader, so will you comment for Sky and then read for us?
Yeah, as I said in my comment earlier, I like how you speak about air bombing. As Lady London wept, it adds to the look of war, its lingering remembrance. As I said, as I see it and how things change. I like how you speak about hope gone, remnants of tears, as they are great emotions that speak to land and given a personality to it as to how many who reside in that land feel after war ravages through. Wonderful, right?
Thank you. Okay.
Awesome comment. And somebody want to shout when they see Sky's poll? I'm sorry, when they see Kay's poll?
Ah,
yep.
Okay.
I call mine Leaving the Brushing of Candlelight, Cedars the Vein of Voice. Transforming force of wills and good terms, not needing a lie. Dressed in kindness where even the disrobing hoards no layers, only truth. Ghosts, we all have those. Hold their hand and say hello, friend. As today you will not have the upper hand, only I and paperback of air. Flowering camellias break the winter's fragility in evergreen frosted, toiling in snow trails, the dirt of frigid estuaries, lodges the marrow of quintessence. Siege of garnets cluttered the rations, the harvest, and ragged ghosts. Turn into dust upon contemplation, a sparrow stationed through ice. Blooming blankets define too binding as Valhalla as laurels unsplendored. End poem.
Flowering camellia writes in winter's fragility and evergreen frosted toiling in snow trails, the dirt of frigid estuaries lodges the marrow of quintessence. The marrow of quintessence. Whoa. Back towards the beginning. Transforming force of wills in good turns, not needing a lie. When it first hit me, it was like those people who talk with baloney because it's easier to lie when that lie is going to make me more angry and less likely to let it slide. And the force of wills and good turns not needing a lie is like hard to come by. A lot, you know. I'm losing my voice. I can't believe this. Siege of. Oh, I better wait. I got to stop taking lines. The coloring and the emotion and the pieces of nature all pulled together. It's really a beautiful piece, and I'm going back, leaving the brushing of candlelight cedars. The vein of voice, candlelight cedars, is really how that photo looks. So the title's perfect for the picture and the metaphor. And I was about to start quoting lines again because I'm always fascinated with your lines, Kay. I know it's starting to sound cliche, but it's just true. Nobody pairs words the way you do, and sometimes I just think, you know, man, why didn't I think of that? It's really cool and impressive, and I appreciate it. In case Sky has to go, let me let her go first.
Yeah, I thought this is wonderful. And when you speak here of the flowering camellias ripe and winter's fragility and evergreen frosted, toiling to snow trails and dirt frigid. I really loved those lines because it makes me think of, and just put images is in my head, that images is, like, that's a word, images in my head of how, you know, winter seems so formidable. You know, when you think of winter, most people think of fierce because snowstorms and things like that, ice thick, but when you think about it, those brittle branches underneath all that snow, it really weakens trees, and nature is very vulnerable at that time. So I like that you played on those types of images and metaphor rather than going in with, like, the fierce. When I think of, you know, when most people think of winter, especially here in New England, they think of blizzards. You know, I love that you played with the fragility of it as well, and played that into your metaphor. This is a beautiful piece, and I do agree with Deb about the way that you pair words. I think it's brilliant. I also really love that you brought in Valhalla. I don't see it too often, and I think it's such a wonderful well of inspiration and type. You know, to reach towards something. And when you're writing and when you're using comparative language or comparative thought, so I really like that you put in the Valhalla. Really, really well done.
Thank you, Kay.
Awesome comment. And let me get a comment from David, please.
Yes, I was. I apologize. I like the last line in the first stanza here. It says, ghosts, we all have those, to hold their hand and say, hello, friend. Yeah, we all do have ghosts, and doesn't matter what kind of ghosts they are, lost loves, lost friendships, they all come back to visit us time to time. Sometimes we say hello and hold our hands. Sometimes we don't. I kind of like that. I don't know if that's what where you were going with that statement, Kay, but that's what I took away from it. And then the very last one, blooming, well, I should back up one more line. It says, turning to dust upon contemplation as sparrows station through ice, blooming blankets defiant through binding as Valhalla is the laurels and splendor. That's a pretty powerful statement to me anyway. And as we all know, Valhalla is a Norse version of heaven, I guess. I guess you could say, I don't know, or the afterlife. And that's a pretty, you know, it says here that binding as Valhalla, that's a pretty bold statement right there. You know, if you say that something's as binding as Valhalla, it surely is. So I thought this was really a nice write, especially in its brevity. And it does match the prompt really well. I think you did a really good job on this as usual, Kay. Well done.
Okay. Thank you. Awesome comment. And how about you, Allie?
Keep talking and I'm muted. Okay. I said that it was a really inspiring poem. I found Kay's message of, like, that today, like, you will not have the upper hand, because I feel like it relates to so much of what's going on in the world, but not only that, like, it shows that Kay herself is a really strong person, and that message can be seen in so many of the poems that Kay's done. It was just a very well-done poem.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, Allie. And Stephen, will you comment for Kay and then read your poem for us?
Sure, yeah, I like this a lot. It's definitely an awesome piece. Written as only you could write it. Like Deb said, your lines are always so very intriguing and so powerful. Like looking back and picking up pieces and realizing certain pieces that were hidden from truth. I like that line that Dave talked about, ghosts that we all have, and to hold their hand and say hello, friend. But to me, I like the way Dave saw it, but to me, I saw it as like past trauma, but you're coming to terms with it. I don't know, maybe that's just kind of what I saw there. Yeah, I thought this is very cool and powerful, right, hon?
Awesome comment. And when you see your poem, please take us away. And thank you, Kay.
Okay. And I'll tell Sky, I also went World War II, the picture of the B-17. So I also used imagery from two of my favorite World War II movies. Of course, Memphis Belle, starring Matthew Modine, and a little more little-known one called Hanover Street, starring Harrison Ford. And this is called Flack Finds Fishers and Fortresses. Pickle Barrel runs over factories of smog, flying fortress in the air. Wild horses gallop within their sight, begging knife makers to dare. Bombing raids in bright day's dawn, four stars had made the call. 88s look into sunbeams to make winged castles fall. Hammering flak explodes chin turret glass, bombardier now has no face. Sphere spire on the belly splintered, gunner lost, devoid of trace. Hail of bullets ripped through steel walls, voice cut off at the source. Waist guns totter with no one to hold, as shrapnel stayed on course. No belly lands of stubborn gears for those who never made it home. Instead they fell in balls of fire, of metal, flesh, and bone. End poem.
Well, for starters, I was surprised at your choice. Now I'm not, because it gave you a chance to dig in here. And on a side note, I'd never heard of the second movie. So now I was like, little known. Anyway, back to the poem. Pickle barrel runs over factories of smog, flying fortress in the air. Wild horseships gallop within their sight, begging knife makers to dare. Really awesome cadence, visuals, rhyme, flow.
bombing rage and bright days. You know, Stephen, this is one of those ones where I could just scroll down and just repeat each one of the stanzas, because your details in there drive each picture, drive the reader to the next stanza. 88 looks into sunbeams to make winged tassels fall. 88 looks. I mean, some of the little nuances there. Hail of bullets ripped through steel walls, and you could almost hear that ping, ping, ping noise from the gift that you put above and your words. So your production skills were spot on with this one, and so are the details that, you know, you want to get past the next one. You want to find out what's going on. No belly lands on stubborn gears for those who never made it home. And like, you're hit really hard with the phrase, for those who never made it home, my grandfather being one of those. So this is a very historic gem. Your rhyme keeps it interesting. The photos drive it. Your wording drives it. I think that this came out brilliant, Stephen. Very impressive. Let me get a comment from Wayne, please.
Yes, sir. Proud of the way you talked about the Flying Fortress. You built the first original one out of wood. You captured the air raids well and brought it to life. But I like the hell of the bullets ripped through the steel walls. You never know, we may be hearing that rhythm pretty soon ourselves live, the way things are going. Great poem you got here, and I enjoyed the movie. Good job there, Steve.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Sky, what do you think?
I was just sending you a message. I was like, don't forget to call on. I love this. You know, I want to say that I'm surprised that we wrote about the same thing, but I'm really not. We often circle sometimes around the same, even the same comments or the same topics and things like this. And everybody knows that I'm a really huge fiction fantasy fan, and that I read a lot. And I will tell you is that my reading is mostly based fiction and fantasy. However, I do have a pretty good sized collection of World War II books. I do. It's probably the only nonfiction that I read. I just tend to really love historical fiction and documentaries, biographies about this time. And I really like the direction that you took. I love that you brought in the where was it? And so many things. The pickle barrel run. And the thing is that when people, if they don't know the jargon or lingo or things like this, when you're writing down the poem, it sends them, some people, it may not send everybody, but it sends people on like this Google mission. And they end up learning, and which is brilliant to me, because I love that in itself. But also if you do, you can read this piece and just really, I guess, delve into the meat of it with these very short stanzas between each picture. And of course, you have the pictures, that the gifts that go with it, which is really cool too. Four stars had made the call, 88 look up at sunbeams and make winged castles fall. I mean, this is, it's tragic. And then at the end, when you speak of those heroes that will never come home, I just think it is such a beautiful tribute, really well done. And, excellent, excellently done.
Awesome comment. And, okay, I'm going to mix this up. Let's see. Kay. Will you comment for Stephen?
Oh, yeah. I like the gifts that you put in there, because you're right, it does speak to the history of past wars and sacrifices, but also the bravery, as it truly speaks to something my father has always said to me that always sticks in my head, as to some gave all and all gave some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, honey.
Yeah. Great comment. All right, now, Stephen, I'm going to have Linda comment, and then before she reads, I'll kick it back to you to do the announcements of what's going on this week. So, Linda, will you comment on Stephen?
Sure. Awesome, right, Stephen. Your wicked descriptions of war are so vividly penned with your keen insight of air battles. It was so cool. The photos were a welcome part of your poem, which I think is extremely strong, and your rhyming was out of this world good. Thank you for sharing, Stephen.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And before Linda reads, tell us what's going on.
All right. The next show at Poetic Slice is Wednesday, the Poetic Inklings. And as you know, it is March, so my favorite day of the year, St. Patrick's Day, is coming up. So we're going to focus on Irish artist Louis Le Broquet. We have a dozen paintings from him to take a look at and inspire your pen. He's kind of abstract and kind of dark as well. Some pretty cool paintings. Thursday, we're having a happy birthday party for Sky. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern because it's coming up. So Kay's got some prompts having to do with, like, you know, with Sky writes. She's got words that Sky uses a lot in her poems as prompts, and, you know, you can pretty much go any way you want. There's a really cool Winnie the Pooh one that you really have to take a look at. It's really, really cool. Friday is something different with a request, also at 8 p.m. Eastern, and back to the Irish theme with that one. Irish sayings is the prompt to write to on that one, and that would take us to Sky.
Awesome. I was just about to say the same thing. Sky, you want to tell us about your two?
Yes, so Saturday, continuing on real quick with the Poetic Slice. Saturday will be, we're continuing our Star Wars bonanza, and we are doing a season 3 of the Clone Wars. There's lots of character highlights in there. Of course, you could write the theme, scenes, characters, quotes. Are put in there, quotes, you can go anywhere you like in case you don't know the fandom that well. And I still take them and we still have fun and we play some clips and have some Star Wars fun, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tomorrow is my monthly show here at A Team of Voices, and there are some really cool prompts. So as you guys know, if you've ever been to my shows, I go down the tube with really random stuff. I put out 3 prompts every time. The first prompt is, if the earth stops spinning, and there's a video that says what would happen if the earth stopped spinning for 5 seconds. And I'll give you guys a little sneak peek. We would all die, but it tells you how we will. So check that out. Some devastating stuff there. And then prompt, absolutely beautiful. I was just saying it earlier today. If you want to do some like calming, meditative stuff, you want to put this on the TV, you should put on videos of feather stars because they're gorgeous. There's some information, and there's a video also about them. And then the third one is the barrel fish. This thing's got like a see-through head with eyeballs inside. It's the coolest fish that you've got. You got to look at this. Watch the video. Now, there's a lot of information. Remember, you can go fiction. It doesn't have to be real. You can go fiction or reality. So you want to talk about the science behind it, you can. If you want to go total fiction and just use those things as a stem for you to bloom flowers and metaphor and whatever, you could also do that. They are just for your inspiration and for you to learn stuff because I like to make people learn stuff. And that's it. 8 p.m. tomorrow. Come by.
And all of the above sound awesome. And thank you to Stephen and Kay. And thank you to you, Sky. And
thank you.
Appreciate you. And, okay, Linda, your poem is there, but just give me one more second. I know I keep saying that, but I'm going to just open up the line because AP is on hold. Welcome to the show, AP. How are you?
Hi,
how are you?
Hello.
How much time do you have?
Oh, I've got a little time to hang out today, Deb, so I was going to stick around for an hour or so.
Awesome. Okay, then,
Linda, I apologize again, but there is your poem, dear heart. Please read for us.
Yep. First, I'd like to announce my show the third Saturday of the month, which this month is the 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's the Liquid Damage Lounge at La Cosa Nostra, and this month's theme is the Wild West. So come on down and have some fun.
Wild West.
My poem is called "For the Words That Write This Story." For our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years, for our strength, for our glory, for the words that write this story. You hear me talk but don't hear what I say. I guess I don't even matter. I've been broken into a million pieces like a dream that has been shattered. Your cities were once trees with waters running through, with trails and meadows we so tried to keep. But you came and made a mess of things without any care. Now my heart and spirit weeps. The colors of my life have been painted on the rain. My voice sells tepid on the wind. You say I'm not important and take away my land, which to me is only but a sin. You never look at me as if I have any clout. You only look at me like I'm a stain. You think the land you gave us was a thoughtful gift, but the reservations were like mighty chains. I wear silver beads on my chest and feathers in my hair. That's not what makes me different than you. The difference comes from what's inside my heart and my spirit, too, and all the things that I say and do. The butterfly collects its nectar as she pollinates the plants, keeping all of life's stages growing on. And just like my people, as they spread their love the same, seeing from the past to far beyond. The meadows full of clover and dandelions won't stay as long as a moth around a flame. For now you've come along with your railroads and your towns, and what I feel is excruciating pain. Now dawn has been broken long ago, and I'm trying very hard to find a way to pass on down my words. But what you hear from me, my heart is nothing but some noise, like the cawing from a murder of blackbirds. As the four winds blow, I pray to them, I pray to stars and moon. I pray for my pale brother that they'll be praying for me soon. The Great Spirit was here long before you stood, and blessed for all the things to stay the same. Then you came along with evil destroyer hearts. Now destruction is all on you to blame. So in the future, when you're hurting all of life, please remember this is what I said. If you keep it up destroying everything, soon you'll find that everything is dead. For our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years, for our strength, for our glory, for the words that write this story. In poem.
You know, Linda, I'm always impressed by your story writing skills and to bring them in and sort of teach some history and wrap it up in the current events and thread the song lyrics in and make them so much more poignant was pretty clever. And like, I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I can't read this font very well, so I don't want to try and fumble through trying to read specific lines. But like I said, I have I get such a kick out of listening to you read because there's always seems to be like a piece of you inside wrapped in the storyline, even if it's just fiction. You still find some way to put yourself in there, which I find quite fascinating. Okay, it looks like it's a little bit better if I make it way too... Okay, the colors of my life have been painted on the rain. My voice sails tepid on the wind. You say I'm not important and take away my land, which to me is only but a sin. And like that stanza... I could cry because it's like there's such controversy of the sides of all this. But no matter how you slice it, people moved in, brutalized, stole the land, and I mean, so many horrific things. It's just the colors of my life have been painted on the rain. That I mean, so much. Where'd the butterfly get? There it is. The butterfly collects its nectar as she pollinates the plants, keeping all life stage going on. And I think that it's fascinating that you made that pollinator a she, just saying. But the rhyme, the flow, the detail, you're a brilliant storyteller. Thank you. This is great. And I'm going to go directly
you,
to our male counterpart storyteller and say, David, what did you think?
Oh, this was great. I was fascinated with every word that you said about this, Linda. I'm going to read you what I just wrote on my comments there. This voice has been overshadowed by those that think the nation owes them everything, for I fear we have forgotten these very voices, our Native Americans. You know, it's true. If anybody got the short stick, it was the American Indians. I commend you for writing this and for bringing this back, you know, in full view of everyone. We need to think about this a lot. And your rhyme and meter was good on this. The storytelling was premier. And I couldn't have done it any better myself. So I think you did a good job on it.
Thank you, David.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Huh?
Fabulous comment. AP, what did you think? AP, are you still here?
There. Can you hear me, Deb?
There you are.
Hello, Deb. I'm here. Okay. Deb, Linda, I just really love the sort of nature of this poem. I could see an elder sitting around a campfire sort of singing this song to the children listening and getting them to understand exactly what happened, which is dreadful and terrible, but it has to be said, and it so rarely is. And I really thought that you did a fantastic job. It was subtle. I loved the murder of the birds and how that sort of played into what's gone on. You never said it, but you had the birds there, and so you got the word in, and it was wonderful. So, I really enjoyed it, Linda. Very well written.
Thank you, AP.
Great comment. And Wayne?
I said, the chief would be dancing around the campfire, but the village fire tonight, if you heard this poem, it's dedicated to the Indian nations in a professional manner and poetic manner that he would enjoy. He prays to the stars and the moons, and he prays for me, his pale-faced brother. It's a great poem, great presentation, and I love it. But Indians didn't get all raw deal. We took their land away from them, but, you know, the average Indian, back in the wilder days, it was average 33 years old. They only lived to the old dad, 33 years old. So they didn't have a whole lot of long lifestyle until we came along and helped them out a little bit. But anyway, it's Indians. I like the Indians' lifestyle and the nature they present. And good job on the poem.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Allie, you're the next reader, so will you comment for Linda first?
Yes, I can. After I find Linda's poem on the board. I said, I'm not lying when I say reading this myself and hearing you read this almost had me in tears both times. I reread it 3 times, but I kept going back to the line, but you came and made a mess of things without any care. Now my heart and spirit weeps. because it is something that many people, including me, can relate to in many ways. Also, I love the line, "That's not what makes me different than you. The difference comes from inside my heart and my spirit, too." Because it relates to a lot of my poems from being different. Oops. Because it relates to a lot of my poems and the fact that being different doesn't make anyone less. Very enjoyable and well done.
Thank you, Allie.
Great comment. And thank you so much, Linda, for the awesome poem. And Allie, if you see your poem, can you read for us, please?
Yeah. I meant to change the title of my poem, but I'll read it anyways. I said, "The smell of fresh air relaxes the girl. In the corner of her room sits a blanket full of colors, colors that are yellow and white and pink and green. In her room, she sometimes shouts, not to scare anyone. It's the way she expresses fears sometimes. Outside, the sunbeams cast a cool design on the road. The beautiful garden has a fountain flowing with water, but the girl is scared to touch the water. It could cause sensory issues, which in return may cause a meltdown. The girl hums to herself as a stim, a way to regulate herself. The girl has three voices, and one of them can sing. One voice can talk, the third voice can write. The girl is a writer, and that writer is me. If I had one chance, I would wish that more people loved me and understood autism. I leave you with one question. If you had one chance to understand me more, would you take it? If so, how? If not, why not?" And the quote I had was, "When your plans unravel in the sand, what would you wish for if you had one chance?"
Awesome. I like that you chose that prompt, for one, because of the fact that you chose the colorful dandelions, and I don't call them dandelions, I actually call them wishes. And then you took the prompt about wishes from this, you know, from airplanes. And then you have stuff like, it could cause sensory issues, which in return may cause a meltdown, like cold hard facts. The girl hums to herself as a stimp, a way to regulate herself. So you're explaining, and I think that you touched on a lot of key points, and you have a point on the side as well, because not a lot of people just find it easier to walk away or ignore than to try to understand. Sometimes anybody who doesn't understand something has a tendency to become afraid of it and just avoid it altogether. And I like that you said, you know, if you have a chance, would you try to understand you more? And I'm pretty sure that all the people in the room have answered that question, because we've all come to spend time with you and enjoy being on shows with you and have all tried very hard to understand, and we come to understand that you are a quite intelligent young girl, and you write cool poetry that often ends with a question that leaves people in thought, and that's a fantastic thing, and I think that you did an excellent job with this prompt, dear heart. And the photo
Thank
that she
you,
wrote,
Pat.
Too, is in my comment below, you guys, if you want to see it. And let me get some comments for Allie. I'm going to go right to David.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. I really like this poem. It's really insightful, I think. I like the starting line, "The smell of fresh air relaxes the girl." Yeah, that's a good way to go. In the corner of the room sits a blanket full of colors, colors that are yellow and white and pink and green. In her room, she sometimes shouts. Well, sometimes I shout in my shop, and I just do it for other reasons. But this was really well done. I thought you put a lot of thought into this. You're thinking beyond your years here, dearie. And I like the the series of questions that you put at the end of it. It makes us all think about things a little in a little bit more detail and depth. So you did really good on this, kiddo. Nice
Thank
job,
you,
Allie. Well
Thank
done.
You.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And AP?
Well, Allie, I think the great thing for me was that firstly I learned more about you, which is always great when you have a poem and you learn about somebody and you get an insight into them. I love the voices. One can talk, one can sing, and one can write. I think it's really nice to think of somebody like that and to think that somebody has that sort of approach to the world. And I started thinking when you said that you couldn't touch the water, and I wondered how we could get you to touch the water and feel that sensation, whether you could put a thick glove on, or whether there was some other way that you could go and feel that sensation of water in a way that wasn't as overwhelming as just the water on the hand. So that's where your poem took me. So thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And I have, who's up next? Wayne, you're the next reader, so will you comment for Allie first, please?
Yes, I will. I said, you have a wonderful way of placing yourself outside of your life and looking back at events in a wonderful way. Your problem with autism may be a blessing because of the education it's given you and the wonderful way of facing your true reality. You're a gifted gal for sure, and there are many who do not have your ability. Keep improving and keep loving your life, and from your view, and you go far. Great job, Allie. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Wayne. I really appreciate it.
You're awesome welcome. Comment. And Wayne, hold on for just a second. Yes, Linda, please.
Okay. Yeah, can I comment on Allie's poem?
Yes, Hon, please.
Yeah. Allie, your poem was stellar, my darling. You have such a deep insight into the magic of life, and the ability to paint a picture with your words is incredible. The poem speaks loudly and is complimented to your ability as a writer. And, of course, I would love to understand you more by reading more of your lovely poetry, darling. You know, you're a really good writer. You
Thank
should be
you,
proud.
Linda.
You're welcome, Allie.
Great comment. Everyone, and thank you, Allie, for the poem. And Wayne, if you see yours, go ahead and take us away, please.
Okay, are you going to play the SoundCloud? Are you going to play the SoundCloud, Dan?
Yes, I am. I am. I'm sorry. I'm on my way.
Yeah, I really enjoy this poem, so I'll tell you.
No, is this the one from the front page?
No, this is another one I wrote today and recorded today. And I like it better than most poems I've ever written, for some reason. But maybe I'll like it too. I don't know.
On a side note, then, congratulations on your front page pick, and let me push play for the poem for today.
Okay.
This is called "Death and Drought Dance." Oh, they say she died one winter, but there came a killing frost. She'd become much thistle thinner. Oh, how much the chips of barren land cost. Blackbirds shout for rain waters to flood fields, where clover, dandelion, and dill were yields. Where rattle, raccoon, bullfrogs brood dotted patches, while sparrow, peacock, and bluebird eggs hatches, produce penny pickles and pimento peppers before drought, plant a perfumed paprika and grew kite cabbage for kraut, serve farmers pork hot dogs with cranberry tea for drinking, sip strawberry sangria wine station store while thinking. No bouquets of blooming blossoms surround, with chestnut cracked canopy licking ground, and wind weeps as walrus wheat wither sycamore, cedar, and redwood, hath hither and thither. Goldenrod, sunbeams, pound, home and hill. Purple, striped earthworms, and magnolia moss, did kill. Ebony, gray, container clouds, carry honeydew hope. Floating, plump fountains, sprinkles, of serrated soil slope. In.
Wayne, you're so cool. Where'd that cabbage go? produced penny pickles and pimento peppers before drought, planted perfume paprika, grew kite cabbage for kraut, served farmer's pork. I can't help but giggle. I don't think I've ever sown sauerkraut in the poem before, and it's just, for some reason, it's really tickled me. No bouquet of blooming blossoms surround with chestnuts, crowd canopy licking ground. You know what it is? The sauerkraut's got me because my father liked it very much, but it was never his best friend, and everybody paid for him having some later. And that's where my head went. So I'm blushing as I giggle anyway. that's so cool. And you and your tongue twisters, very impressive. But you're going on about the food and the kraut, and the peaceful music is in the background, and I'm sitting there imagining my father an hour and a half after the sauerkraut. So that was very unexpected. in the second stanza, blackbird shouts for rain waters to flood fields where clover, dandelion, and dill were yields. It's a really sad picture, and the thought that, you know, the ground's cracked and ruined and not much is going to sprout from there because it's just so killed. It's really a clever write, and you probably didn't mean to get as many giggles as you just did, but I have to say thank you because I needed them really bad. I mean, I almost have tears in my eyes, Wayne. So, yeah, that was very cool.
I put a little hope at the end when the clouds are coming over and sprinkle a little bit, so I get put hope at the end that things will get better. So maybe it will.
From your mouth. Let me get you some comments. How about, Allie, would you like to comment for Wayne?
It was a really beautiful poem. I'm still trying to process everything from what everybody said online, so I wasn't able to fully process what you
written.
I promise I'll go back and reread and do a better comment once I've actually realized what you've written.
You're doing fine. That's good. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Allie. And
very detailed.
Yep. Detailed in it.
Linda, are you still here? Let me go see. Yeah.
Are you
muted?
Yeah.
There she is.
Nope, I'm here. Wayne, as usual, a fantastic job. Your alliteration is out of this world fantastic, and your use of the word bank is incredible. You have woven a fine tapestry of words here, my darling, and your ability for description is uncanny. I loved it. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, David. It's great job. Great comment, Linda.
You're welcome.
And AP, what did you think?
Molly, you used to say a bit of that word bank, Wayne. You just sort of, you know, made the rest of us look a little bit pedestrian, but I've got to say, I really love the first stanza, and it just introduced the whole image, I thought, really well, and I love the chips of the barren land cluster, because I wouldn't have thought about, you know, that those soil pieces and being so dry, looking like chips, but you're absolutely right, they do, and it's just a fine start, and I think it really drag, you know, you drag, a really good start. Just take everybody along for the journey, and that's a great example of a great first stanza.
Yeah, this poem here was my highest rated poem ever. It came in first place in my rate system. It's the highest rated poem I ever wrote.
There you
cool.
go.
Yeah.
It's that kraut.
I think the kraut got it.
Awesome. Now, Dave, you're going to be the next reader. So I was hoping you would comment on Wayne and then read. And AP, if you could put your poem up, because you'll be the reader after David. David?
Sure.
Okay. This is typical Wayne, I tell you, and I love it. He always puts a smile on my face, and it makes Deb giggle. And I love the tongue twisters that are thrown in here. But it still has a little bit of a serious tilt to it. At the same time, that takes a lot of talent to do that. And you never know what Wayne's going to bring, and it's always fun. So well done, my friend.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate the comment.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you made me hungry.
Yeah, I know it. Several years ago, I did a series of poems called The Church of Forevermore, and I think there's like seven of them in there. And I saw this picture of this church, and I thought, well, okay, I'm going to have to plug in one more into this series. And this one's called The Eighth Level in the Church of Forevermore. It's kind of spooky, so maybe you better grab a bowl of popcorn while you're at it. My quote's called, the quote that I picked was, "When you scream, I fight always all of your fears," by Evan Thien. And it goes like this: "A church with one-way doors into eight rooms on eight floors, only a church and nothing more. Eight levels, one room and nothing more. Eight gables, eight rooms and eight floors. Now inside the church forevermore, glowing holy writ runs round the door. Indigo candle inside the front door. Welcome to the church of forevermore. Go to the eighth floor inside the church of forevermore. Just a church and nothing more. Eight gables, eight rooms, and eight floors. Eighth room with its massive black doors. The sign above it read, Xenomorph, caution, glows in green, angelic precaution. Reaching for the silver handle with trepidation, a floating red linear interpolation. Coiled around my hand's ruby crystallization, burning with the fury of Aldebaran's cation, open swung the huge doors in the church of forevermore, a church with eight gables, eight rooms, and eight floors. It's just a church and nothing more. Something monstrous and purple in the dark, ancient as the Egyptian barks, from perfume immemorial, alien but somehow corporeal, standing 6 meters in height, massive shielded canopy glistening bright, alien crown in metallic greens and blues, crystalline spittle from her jaws ooze, switchblade motion in its meter, harpoon-tipped vertebral tails, writhing carpus, an angel appeared in blinding light, the alien recoiling in fright. Her countenance softened as she looked at me, red eyes did glow, holy tattoos I see, features her voice to me. Behold, a xenomorph queen for thee. Should I slay her for you? She has killed in hammered hues, dangerous as her offspring's minus pH acidic sting. Spare her. She is what she is, my reply to the angelic touches. The angel lay her sapphire sword upon the beast's forehead. The xenomorph lowered her massive eyeless head to me, inches from her maleficent smile, exposes the dripping crystalline scimitars. Still, she did me no harm. The angel banished her from whence she came. The angel spoke to me. Thee has passed my test, David William. I found myself outside the church of forevermore, a church with eight gables, eight rooms, and eight floors. It's just the church and nothing more. I am the scribe for the church and home."
Very cool. And how many did you say you have of these?
Huh? Oh, I've got, this is the eighth one now. It's in my list.
You know, because I was surprised how quickly you jumped on this, and I thought, And then when I saw you post the link and saw Church of Forevermore, I understood more. But I guess I just didn't realize that you did that many. I like how you started it out. When you scream, I find a ways all your fears. I fight a ways all your fears from the song. I like that you use that one. A church with one-way doors in 8 rooms on 8 floors, only a church and nothing more. That's pretty clever. 8 rooms on 8 floors. 8th level, 1 room and nothing more. 8 babies, 8 rooms and 8 floors. You pull the 8 through, carrying on the hauntingness. 8 gables, 8 rooms and 8 floors. 8th rooms with a massive black door. Sign above it read, Xenomorph caution. Glows in green, angelic precaution. I like the rhyming details, David. Should I slay her for you? She has killed and hammered hues, dangerous of her offsprings, pH acidic sting. So here we are again. We've got the conversation. We've got the awesome details. We've got the storyline. And, of course, there is the has passed my test, David William. I think it's cool that you put David William in there so often. And then the ending. It's just a church and nothing more. I am a scribe for the church. Really awesome, Dave. The details, like I said,
thank
the
you.
Conversation, the story, the whole package. Very much enjoyed. Let me give
you
comments. Linda, you want to go first?
Sure. Wow, David. What an imagination you have, my friend. This was outstanding with gruesome imagery, but it also showed compassion through the xenomorph's eyeless head. Your ability to form a picture with your words is uncanny and well done. This piece was very inspirational. Thank you for sharing it, your awesome ink. This was just a massive piece of your brain. And it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing, David.
Oh, thank you, Linda. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome.
Comment. And Allie, will you comment for David?
It was very well done. I secretly knew about this before he had finished writing it. And when he started explaining it to me, I was like, that's a really cool idea and a really cool series to kind of develop. And actually, David told me that I should create my own character and start developing a series off of that. I wasn't sure how to even start. And then I saw I knew David was working on this. And it just kind of gave me the inspiration to start, although I haven't posted mine yet. But there's something in the works.
Thank you, Ellie.
Any comments?
You're welcome.
And Wayne?
Yes, now this poem is 8 up. It's a church forevermore, and that's for sure. 8 gables, 8 rooms, and 8 floors. Very good storyline with 8 gables, 8 rooms, and 8 floors forevermore. I love saying that. It's so catchy. 8 gables, 8 rooms, 8 floors forevermore. Great job. I'm going to be saying that the rest of the night. They got it in my brain. Great job, Larry.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment for David and then read your poem for us?
Yeah, Dave, I love the comments below, actually. I want some of whatever you're smoking. I thought, jeepers, that's a great comment. I want some of it, because it's just a great story, you know. It just fires its way down the page, and you just want more of it, Dave, which is always, you know, the aim of the story is to want more, and you sort of finish and you go, oh, shit, actually would have preferred a few more stanzas. So I really liked it.
Oh, thanks, AP. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
pleasure. Thank you, Doc. Well, I guess it's my turn, Deb. So this is up on the board. This is Sunbeam Splinters, and it's a Villanelle again. I'm in Villanelle form at the minute. And it goes a little bit like this. Sunbeam splinters burn into rainbow sight, with diamonds and lilac they ferry. Upon your hand is fragment beside light. In this cubist palette I seek to write, swirling of silver and light strawberry. Sunbeam splinters burn into rainbow sight. This ebony of a sea swirls in might, curved ink to a mountain of blackberry. Upon your hand is fragment beside light. Apples and paprika richly delight as you wander open lime fields merry. Sunbeam splinters burn into rainbow sight. Sing of silver and of treasure tonight, toss two trees into the spell to ferry. Upon your hand there's fragments beside light. I seek your hand with enormous delight, goldenrod raised to hair strands I tarry. Sunbeam splinters burn into rainbow sight. Upon your hand is fragment beside light. End poem.
Aww.
Wow. You really are on a roll with these. And this one carried on. The last couple were just a few stanzas. And this one is just filled with gorgeousness. Deep ebony of a sea swirls and might curves inked to a mountain of blackberry upon your hand, air's fragment beside light. You know, aside from the poem for just a second, when I first saw this, I saw a thumb, and I wondered if anybody else would see a hand in there. I thought I saw a thumb on a bottom lip. But anyway, so the fact that the fragment of light is there upon the hand struck me. But that's the carry line, upon your hand, air fragments beside light. And then towards the end and in the end, there's just something so gorgeous about the fragments of the light that you pulled and the colors that you chose. Sunbeam splinters burn into rainbow sight with diamond and lilac they ferry. The gorgeous blend of color there pulls all the light and color and gorgeousness, and the fact that you put the rainbow in there too, it's like there's joy in your pen, and it's showing in your lines and your color choices and your sing of silver and of treasure tonight. It's just so many delightful lines that show the beauty that you pulled through here. I think that this one's a visual gem. It came out really great. I like where your pen's been leading you. Let me
get you
some comments. I will go to Linda first, please.
AP, this was charming. I just loved how you worked up the prompt with your words. The colors were beautiful, and I love the sunbeam splinters burn into rainbow sight. With diamond and lilacs that bury upon your hand, air's fragment beside light. This is such beautiful wording, and it's a powerful piece that is just, it's an amazing, amazing write. Thank you for sharing, AP.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
Beautiful comment. And, Allie, what did you think?
It said that it was a very well-done poem. Give me a second. I said, when you messaged me earlier saying you hadn't started writing yet, I wasn't shocked because I knew you could pull it off. But seeing how amazing this poem is and knowing you were working against time, as to say, has me shocked. Very well done and developed.
Thank you, Allie. Thank you.
He's famous for that. What did you think, Wayne?
Did you say Dave?
Mohammed
said wait. I love Villanelli style poems. It only works if the lines flip smoothly as they rotate from end to end. You do this seamlessly with and keeping with the flow of the, in a meaningful manner. Deb writes good Villanelli, and so do you. And I'm going to write another one soon. It's a great style, and you did a wonderful job with it. Great job.
Thanks, Juan. Thank you.
Let me see. AP, I hate to ask you this, but can you get Linda and David to comment for you while I go in the green room for a moment?
Yeah.
Have them comment on you.
We've had Linda comment, so I was going to get Dave to comment. Dave, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I sure will. You know, I really like this. I love the colors in it, and like everybody else said, I like the way you used them. A lot of times I think, at least from my experience, you know, when you really care about somebody and you're near them and you're touching them or holding their hand or whatever it might be, you feel these colors, you don't really see them, but you actually feel the feel each one of them. I suppose that's something we mentally do. I don't know, but you brought that out in this poem. At least that's what I took away from it anyway. I really like the way it was written. It has a really nice, uplifting feel to it, and you did it with a lot of eloquence, and I like that about your writing, AP. So well done.
Thank you.
Good
Thank
comment.
You, Dave. Yeah, no, it's yeah. Look, you've probably seen recently that in my poetry, there's a real sense of connection and feeling, and that's only a good thing. Dave's are well picked up.
And cool. And back. Thank you, AP. Did Linda get to comment?
Yeah, I already had commented.
Okay, I couldn't remember. And whoever is on area code 708, that's the second time I tried to talk to you with, and there's no sound, but I do see you there. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you, but if I can't hear you, I don't know what else to say. There's that. Okay. Comment on this one?
After I'm going to disappear, so thank you. The crazy work that I'm in here. But thank you for the prompt. It was a beautiful image.
And thank you for hanging out. We'll talk soon.
Okay. No problem. Talk soon. Bye.
Okay. Now, everybody that's on the phone got to read. And what I have left is I'm going to read for Heavenly Angel, and then I have some recordings. I have Frank's, which I'm going to play first because I saw him on the board, and then I have one from JCA, one from Phil, and one from Gerald, and we'll be done. So if you guys would please click on Angel's poem, I put it there, and I will read for her. And,
yeah, do you mind if I go before you start reading? Just so I didn't want to interrupt.
No, that's fine. I appreciate you hanging out. Get some rest. Thank you for calling and reading your poem. You did a great job.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Allie.
Good night, Emily.
Good night, Allie.
Okay, this poem is called The Last Summer Day by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. The last summer day, laughing, while walking off into the fading plum and indigo sunset on beach sand as pure and white as powdered sugar, melting forever beneath us, melting forever into us in ways words fail to express. Even now, an early evening thunderstorm sent bolts of silvery sapphire lightning licking the shoreline as the clouds turned purple, heavy with tropical rain. The Jamaican winds whipped the turquoise emerald waves of squally blow as we sat under our umbrella at the beachside cafe, sipping rum with a sprig of spearmint, shivering beneath wet, salty kisses. Your memory is ecstasy for you and I. You are all I know. You are all I need to know. From the moment you spoke my name, I was hooked. Did you finally get the chance to dance along the light of day? Are you watching me from beyond the Milky Way? Since the love that left is all I get, I will cherish it. Whisper of a phantom immortality, knowing I have loved you well, knowing you have loved me well. And poem. Ooh. Wow. That ending got me. Since the love that you left is all that I get, I will cherish it as a whisper of a phantom immortality, knowing I have loved you well, knowing you love me well. The ending is stunning. But the whole thing is that the colors, she brought all the colors out of that image to life and took us on a journey with her to that beach in Jamaica, to those windy gusts, to the splashing water. And then she threaded in the word from the prompt, did you finally get the chance to dance along the light of day? Really, really awesome. Beautiful share, Angel, and I say this every time because it's true. It's my honor to read for you. Oh, and I see that you won a gold from Mr. If Your Abs. Hey, If. Congratulations. Thank you for sending that in. And let me get you some comments. How about, Linda, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was just lovely. She had me with laughing while walking off onto the fading plum and indigo sunset on beach sand as pure and as white as powdered sugar. What a great description that is, and an absolutely beautiful description. The imagery is sublime in this, and the emotional tug is also strong and heartfelt. And I thank Angel for sharing this with us. Very beautiful.
Gorgeous comment. Thank you. And Wayne had to hang up. David, what?
Well, this was really beautiful. Angel has a way of expressing herself like nobody else does when it comes to this sort of thing. I agree with what Linda said about the descriptions in this poem. They're absolutely gorgeous. And like this one here, the Jamaican winds whipped the turquoise emerald waves, a squally blow as we sat under our umbrella at the beachside cafe, sipping rum with a sprig of spearmint, shivering beneath wet, salty kisses. That's pretty cool. I don't know if anybody wouldn't like to be doing that right about now. Yeah, this was really a beautiful poem. Way to go, Lynn. Or I mean Angel, sorry.
There you go.
Awesome. And then do you comment first or after me, right?
Right.
Okay, cool. Just was writing something down and I lost track. Okay. So if you guys would please click on Frank's link, I will push his recording and we will listen to the videos and go home, or audios and go home. So, Frank, here we go.
Countless demons lurk in the nocturnal darkness of your mind. Sable shadows of stains tinted in blood of sangria and incense, brushing against the canvas of your incessant nightmares, echoing the vibrant voices of the roaming specters. Hallucinatory thoughts of suicide perturb your daunted despair. The sturdy walls of your sanity begin to crack and crumble, with the amplifying sounds of your startling screams out loud. The blistering storm of demons emerge through perforated holes, The swirling swarm writhes, the raging winds like a leviathan. Clusters of red roses wilt into the deep black shade of death. Trails of hungry crows feed off the slimy and viscous worms, crawling from the surface of the moss and mould of the walls. A disturbing theatre of the madness of a desperate soul, fading into the suffocating vines of a menacing surreality, losing total grip on reality by every passing minute elapsed. As the door of time closes, entrapped it forever in the darkness. When you scream, I'd fight away all of your aching fears. I was always near you, for I'm the shadowy figure within the cracks of fear. In the boom.
Calm down, Frank.
He gets me every time.
I know, right? Every time. So, while I'm commenting, if you scroll down below the poem, I added the photo that he wrote to earlier. It'll show you just how perfect his title is, Cracks of Fear. Right from the get-go, countless demons lurk in the nocturnal darkness of your mind. And that's so true. I mean, nothing can drive us crazier or scare us more than our minds and the things we think of and that go bump in the night type of thing. Your incessant nightmares echoing the vibrant voices of the roaming specters. Creepy imagery there. The swirling swarm rides the raging winds like a leviathan. Clusters of red roses wilt into the deep black shade of death. I mean, really vivid images that drive in the death, the despair, the swirls. I mean, everything. And the slimy, vicious worm crawling from the surface of the moss. And you get the chills from the thought of the crawly, creepy crawlies. A disturbing theater of the madness of a desperate soul. That wording is brilliant, the disturbing theater. Yeah, quite brilliant. And then, of course, you know, with the end there, for I'm the shadowy figure within the cracks of fear. And then he goes into that blood-curdling laughter. Such a theatrical reader. Excellent chair and awesome video. No, audio. Video is another story. Thank you very much, Frank. Poetic Picasso. Appreciate it very much. Let me go to David first this time.
Well, boy, Frank sure knows how to read these things, doesn't he? Man. And, you know, his verse is really good, too. It's I couldn't have imagined all of this, you know, if I'd have tried. And touched on that thing of talking about the worms, the viscous worms, that kind of gives me my own kind of chills and yucko descriptions and thoughts and stuff. Losing total grip on reality by every passing minute elapsed as the door of time closes, traps you forever in the darkness. That's kind of a scary thought right there. And then, you know, the way Frank reads this is just premier. You know, it's just great. You couldn't get anybody else to do it as good as he does, you know. And I thought this was really a good write. It really was. Well done, my friend Frank.
Great comment, David. And Linda, what did you think of Frank's masterpiece?
So hauntingly lovely. Frank has this way of making things morbidly beautiful, extremely scary, and divinely awesome. This piece screams with madness and fear, and what a great job as usual. Thank you for sharing this with us. I loved it with 20 exclamation points. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
20 exclamation points. Well, there you go. Great comment. Thank you very much, Frank. Appreciate it. Especially since you did it with chirping birds and out of town. Seriously, thank you very much. Now, if you guys would click on JCA's link, I have his recording ready to go. And here we go.
Dance in the Milky Way by JCA. You amplify the blooming air, ride bullfrog on the Clementine Comet, toss the silver nickels into an echoing hole, and let eyes fly with the bluebirds in the skies. Brush the petals of the sapphire cornflowers. With fingers you flit the mustard-tinted marigolds, drinking sangria with the cherry, strawberry, peppermint, and lime. Diamonds and stars hung with twine, empty bottle of dry red wine. Train comes on the radio. Did you finally get a chance to dance along the light of way and head back to the Milky Way? Barefoot twist, you morph to the swelling tornado. Under the indigo purple of the twilight, you float like the perfume magnolia kite in the orchestra blanket of leopard frogs and crickets. Hyena-style laughing trails through the weathered oak trees. Little brown bats parade in twitching flight. Canopy chiffon dress, umbrellas the brushing breezes. Creek waters ride the moonbeams, moving in striped starlight. You sail the tango on Saturn's rings.
Wow. You know, for one thing, I got to say, I got a kick out of the fact that he broke into song midway. That was spot on. That was obviously the lyric that he chose. Okay. But I love it when he pours on that southern charm through his accent. There's something that happens when he goes heavy with it, showing off some southern roots in there. But it adds this different level to it. Barefoot twists, you morph into swelling tornado under the indigo purple of the twilight. You float like the perfume magnolia kite in the orchestra blanket of leopard frogs and cricket. Now, magnolia kite, I believe a kite is a bird. So I'm going to have to look up perfume magnolia kite because, like, is it just a beautiful metaphor there, or is there a magnolia kite? Makes me wonder. But anyway, back to that. The accent, I don't know about you guys, but I think that it puts extra drama in, that it gives you a more of a laid-back feeling as you listen, pulling in the nature, and you just kind of feel good. But like I said, I was very tickled by the fact that he broke out into song midway. Wow. You sail the tango on Saturn's rings. So gorgeous. Great use of color. Great use of the prompts all together. And I mean, I know he's probably at work, and on his break he made this audio, which I appreciate very much. Fabulous piece. Dance in the Milky Way. Great poem to a great picture, to a great song. Thank you very much, JCA. Appreciate it very much. And I will go to David. Looks like we lost David. So, yeah, it'll be just you and I, and we'll comment on these last three.
Well, I can't comment on this because I was outside with my dog, and I just came back in when it was over. So I really don't know what to say. You know, I really can't say much about it one way or the other.
Oh, that's all right. If you get a chance, push play. Oh, he doesn't have it attached. You should give it a read, though. It came out really beautiful.
And I don't know what happened to Linda's call, but that's okay. Again, thank you very much, Jay. And I am going to put Phil's up there, and we will – oh, it is up there. So if you click on – thank you, Linda. Click on Phil's poem, and I will push play, and we'll do these last two together, Sir David.
Do you want me to read it?
This
yep.
– no, we have
poem
not.
By
it's
Phil
recorded.
The poet called Lake of Tranquility.
Oh, okay.
Fingertips submerged in a cool, refreshing lake.
It was too low. I'm going to start it over.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Lake of Tranquility. Fingertips submerged in a cool, refreshing lake. Scent of honeydew invades every breath I take. Ripples of terracotta wave disturbs my slumber. Canopy of trees vibrates with sound of thunder. Clear blue sapphire waters peacefully flow along, while my eardrum meditates on a blackbird song. Drifting drowsily past the maple-perfumed mountainside, filled with hyacinths and marigolds, where the eagles abide. Flying fish leap like a kite from the glassy lagoon, fins flapping frantically, disappearing like a Sunday afternoon. A peacock's tail floating upon a veil of liquid supreme tickles me awake from my deep and tranquil dream. End poem.
Wow. Lake of Tranquility. If you scroll down on his poem a little, you'll see the photo that he wrote too. And the title is perfect because you see this boat in between the branches of a beautiful tree, and it just looks so tranquil. And then the brevity itself is gorgeous. Fingertips submerged in the cool, refreshing lake, and the scent of honeydew invades every breath I take. Ripples of terracotta waves disturbs my slumber. Canopy of tree vibrates in sound of thunder. There that the image, the scent, the smell of honeydew, I could almost smell it. And then the terracotta disturbs the slumber. I thought that wording was really, really cool. And in the center, clear blue sapphire waters peacefully flow along while my eardrum meditates on a blackbird song. I mean, talk about packing three stanzas with gorgeous sights and sounds. And scents, like I said, I could smell the honeydew. I could almost hear the birds. Well, the birds were singing all day, so it just brought that back to my mind. I think that the image that he painted with his words here is gorgeous, and it sounds like a perfect Sunday afternoon. And the last line, tickles me awake from my deep and tranquil dream, is really a cool ending. I think you did a beautiful job with this, Phil, and I appreciate the poem and the recording very much. Thank you so much. What did you think, David?
Oh, I thought this was great. Yeah, Phil has a real, real good way of describing what he sees. And, of course, the way he reads adds to that. You know, fingertips submerged in a cool, refreshing lake. That's, you know, that line sort of grounds us out right away, kind of gets us, takes our attention, puts it where he is. Scent of honeydew invades every breath I take. That's a good way of saying that you can really smell it, which I thought was cool. Canopy of trees vibrate with sound of thunder. You know, that's... if you've ever been out in the woods in the middle of a thunderstorm, you know, when those things go kaboom, they're not that too far away from the tops of the trees, and you can almost feel the leaves about fir boughs and stuff like that shake under that. And so that, you know, that had a special meaning to me because I live out in the woods. I like the, flying fish leap like a kite from their glassy lagoon. That's cool. fins flapping frantically, disappearing like a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, this poem's really slick, and for only three, four-line stanzas, he says a lot in that poem. I think this is really unbelievably good.
Fabulous comment, David. Thank you so much. And I just put the last poem of the night on the board. It also has a recording, and this is by Gerald Green. And as soon as you tell me you see it, Dave, I'll push play. Be muted, so I will just push play.
Astronomical
Pioneers. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was.
Written and read by Gerald Green. At Linaikea supercluster's tip, the silver Milky Way sits undisturbed, a diamond left alone in space's wilderness. Galactic, sapphiric clouds of gas conceal as sunbeams try to reach my planet from obscure and unknown points. But what the Hubble sees delights the scientist who maps huge galaxies like rivulets. Superclusters stand in glowing arcs as though by artist's brush or magic wand, broad canopies like fountains pouring suns. First light arrives from all directions, traveling since the dawn of time, flying through to who knows where. Can there be another universe so distant that its colored light has yet to reach and cannot find this distant place? We launch the James Webb Telescope looking past our supercluster, using infrared technology and hoping for discovery. End poem.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah. I'll see.
Superclusters stand in glowing arcs as though by artist's brush or magic wand. Broad canopies like fountains pouring suns. I love the wording there, especially like an artist's brush or a magic wand. But there's something so gorgeous about broad canopies like fountains pouring suns. It's a gorgeous image. And then towards the end, like the, can there be another universe so distant that its colored light has yet to reach and cannot find, think so. We launched the James Webb Telescope looking past our supercluster using infrared technology and hoping for discovery. And, you know, you could take that ending there two ways because sometimes, if you're watching a sci-fi movie, your thought right there would be, well, careful what you wish for, and then talk about Sigourney Weaver. But on a serious note, I can just imagine that somewhere on some other planet, there's some chick hosting a blog space show, and she just had an amazing poet that sends in recordings all the time talking about the possibility that there's people sitting around with the wind blowing the trees in their backyard right this minute and stuff. So, you know, I really like that he took us on an adventure and left us with a question, can there be another universe so distant that the color light has yet to reach? I like the way he asked the question, too, that the light has yet to reach. So I thought this was an impressive share, Gerald, as always. I like where you took it and the great use of the colors and visuals in here. Dave Prophet, what did you think?
I like this. This was right down my alley. There are things called superclusters. The Virgo Virgo constellation is in a supercluster. It's part of what we call the local group. You know, if light years are local, but it's amazing. And it says, this one stanza down here, it says, first light arrives from all directions, traveling since the dawn of time, flying through to who knows where. Some of these, it's a quasar called 3-2C-379, I think, or something like that. This thing was so far distant that the universe was only about 1 million years old when this thing first started shining, and we're just now getting the light from it. That shows you how vast the universe is. You know, even at the speed of light, we always think about that as something really fast, but, when you have to qualify it with the vast distances that we travel, and there's a yardstick for measuring, well, a light year is a yardstick for measuring distance in the universe. It's not a measurement of time. It's a measure of distance. And that's still not quite enough, so they go to another yardstick, which is literally almost a yardstick. It's 3.26 light years, and that's called a parsec. And there are anomalies and galaxies out there that are mega parsecs, which are millions of parsecs away from us. There is what they call a light barrier, 4,606 megaparsecs away from the Earth. And because of the expansion of the universe, that Hubble constant and all that stuff, we will never see anything past that. We will never see any light that comes from anything past that because the universe is expanding fast enough to keep it ahead of us forever. And so I thought that was pretty amazing. As the universe expands, it's what's really happening is space-time is expanding. And space-time, we can think of it as a kind of an elastic blanket. And things can actually exceed the speed of light if they are on this elastic blanket and it's expanding. You can exceed the speed of light if you're going across it. But if you're part of it, then you can. And these objects that are furthest away from us are receding away from us faster. That's called redshift, and it's a measurement. Things that are coming towards us is called a blue shift, and we're going to have a real bird's eye view of the Andromeda galaxy in about 2 million years because it's going to crash into the Milky Way. And that galaxy, if you look at it in spectroscopy, it's blue shifted towards us instead of red shifted. Anyway, the James Webb telescope is really cool. It's not quite like the Hubble telescope because it operates in the infrared, and infrared has the ability to see through a lot of dust and junk out there in space, and it's a massive thing. Its magnification powers, I don't know how much they are, more than Hubble, but they're just, I can't wait till they start really getting this thing tuned in. It's going to really be fun. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent here.
No, that's okay. I knew you were going to enjoy that last poem. You got the last word on it. But I just noticed that my brother's in the studio. Heather, finally home?
Finally home, yeah.
Hey, Heather.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, I love that space talk. It's first thing you got to realize we are unable to realize the expanse of the universe. Cannot comprehend. So when you start there, where you go, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, that's right, man. And that's okay with me. That's fine. I don't care. You know, it's there's a place for God and there's a place for science in the universe, and that's what I liked about Albert Einstein. He had room for both of them. Some of these people don't, but I think there's a place for both of them, both in it.
Yeah, all the famous theorists throughout history were religious and believed in a greater being, a creator,
mm-hmm.
because they knew the odds of us being here, and without a phenomenal set of circumstances that we exist.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
except
for Stephen, except for Stephen Hawkins, he was the voice.
Yeah. I'm right with you on that one, boy. I tell you. That's one of the things that I don't like about some of these guys. They put themselves up on the same level with God, and you can't do that sort of crap. You just can't, you know. I mean, you're just begging to be made fun of if you do. And I think there's things in the universe that we will eventually find out. I think there's some things in the universe that God doesn't want us to know, and those things we'll never know. You know, it's probably for our own good. I don't know, but, you know, that's the way I look at it. And, I just can't, when I get into my upper years like I am right now, I just don't like the idea of not believing in God. You know, I got to go somewhere when I'm done. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. We won't know everything. We're not supposed to.
Yeah, exactly.
So, guys, I'm going to take this moment to say thank you to my amazing board members, Hatter and 3P and AP. I appreciate you all very much. And I want to say thank you for calling and hanging out to David. And I want to say thank you to Scott and Kay and Stephen and Linda and Allie and Wayne. And thank you to Angel for the poem. And thank you for the recordings, JCA and Frank and Bill and Gerald. We appreciate all of you very, very much. Area code 708, whoever you are, I'm sorry that we couldn't get your call to come through. And if you could hear me, I couldn't hear you, but I hope you try to call again sometime. On that note, I am going to play my big brother's world famous song that's listened to in 60, you know what? About to say the words, and it's just dawning on me that at the beginning of the show, I had a storm going on and Sky had a storm going on, and I wanted to get in as many calls as I could possibly get in. And in the middle of all that, I forgot to announce a new country, and I can't find my note. Oh, no. And it's the Ivory Coast. No? I don't know. Wait a minute. I have that already. Now it's going to drive me crazy. It's right there by Egypt. I'm looking for it as we speak. It's on the right-hand side there. Show me. Oh. I can't find my note. It's driving me crazy. So I'm in a map right now. I'm in a map, and we got listeners. You know what? That's a real bummer because I don't remember. And
we'll look for it when you play the song.
Yeah, but. I don't want to, like, seem rude, but it's a teeny little country that I didn't know of, and I was really excited to see it, and now I don't know.
Down there, like Trinidad or Ivory Coast, you said Congo, Tanzania.
No, it's right there on the outskirts of Egypt, and I'm pulling up the map, but you gotta get the cursor on the extension spot or it won't show up, and it's messing with me. So what I'm going to do is I am going to figure it out, and I'm going to have Sky announce it tomorrow on her show, because I'd rather do that than sit here and fumble and sound like a big giant dummy. So instead, I'm going to play the aforementioned wonderful poem put to music by Shout Even Shy and written by my big brother, Hatter. Love and respect, guys. Thanks again for hanging all night, David. Here we go.
You're welcome. Great show tonight.
watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant.
Country listening to ATOV, Attentive Voices, is the West Bank. Excellent.
So awesome. And so glad you're home, Hatter.
I am too. Thanks.
Talk to you tomorrow. Go look at Sky's topic, everyone. Her show starts at 8.
Okay.
Love and respect.
Bye-bye.